Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Larrick, joined by David Smith.
Hello.
The executive director of the Illinois Family Institute, Illinois Family Action. We have a couple guests in the studio. John Biber is the special projects coordinator for the Illinois Family Institute, and Ralph Rivera, a lobbyist for IFI down in Springfield. Ralph, we've got a bill that has passed in the General Assembly kind of under the radar. A lot of people don't know about this, but the implications are really big. We're talking about House Bill 1785.
Yes, House Bill 1785 is what we call a gender birth certificate bill. It allows a person to change their gender on their birth certificate if they have just really a minimal amount of counseling, on mental health counseling, or some type of medical treatment, which is also can be a part of that mental health counseling. So taking some
hormone treatments.
Hormone treatment, thanks. Right. That would qualify a person getting a change on their birth certificate. So a boy who thinks he's a girl could go to a doctor, say, I'm getting some hormone treatments, and the doctor signs a declaration saying this can be changed on the birth certificate. So you don't go to court, not that that would make a difference, but you don't go to court, and you go to the vital records, and they change the gender on your birth certificate. Now, that may seem like, okay, he wants to do that. No. What the change is a legal change, tremendous ramifications. So employers, schools, religious institutions, all of those people, this person now comes and says, and you can change your name at the same time. So this person who is Fred says, I'm now a girl, and I now have a legal right to go into the women's bathroom,
right,
changing room,
shower rooms,
locker rooms, etc. And you have to accommodate that. So what happens if that employer or the religious institution, that church doesn't? They could be fined. You could have situations where you're jailed. So this isn't some simple, just changing my birth certificate, I want to put it on my wall.
No, there's a more sinister agenda here at play. Just for background, House Bill 1785 was sponsored by Greg Harris, who is an openly gay Democrat from the city of Chicago. He is the LGBTQIA, and we can go on with the alphabet there, champion. He champions all things LGBTQIA. How about that? And this is specifically to enable deceit of these transgender men and women who want the government to back them up in their delusions. John, you've written a lot about this topic, and all the dysphorias and paraphilia. I mean, once we start down this road, is there an end?
No. It'll go on for many years. There's many hundreds of variations on a theme to come. This is an amazing thing. You almost need to send the General Assembly members to shrinks, because they are so good at pretending that A is B and B is A.
Yeah.
They're as good at math as they are at biology.
And here's the problem is in Ontario, in Canada now, the first child has been born. This was just a recent news story that the parents have decided we're not going to assign a gender or record the gender. We'll let him decide as he grows up. And it is a boy. You know, I'm not buffaloed by this. But then in Oregon, we have a new state law that allows somebody to change their gender on their driver's license to X. You have male, female, and X, just in case you're not one of those other two.
The word sinister is the word. There are so many other layers of this when it comes to where this identity politics is going to. And there's people need to go to school on this. There are dangers down the road.
Well, It passed, Ralph, in the General Assembly, in the House, barely. We had how many? Do you remember how many Republicans voted for this? I can't remember off the top of my head. I think it was three.
No, there were more than that. There were, I think there were seven.
There were seven. And then in the Senate, also, we had it pass. And so now it is.
There were no Republicans in the Senate.
That's right. Good point. Thank you. Yeah, they held firm. And now it's at Governor Runner's desk, and we have only a short time. He has 60. Once it hits his desk, he has 60 days to sign it, or what happens?
Well, if he doesn't sign it, it can be law without a signature, so he can do nothing and it becomes law. But he then has, but generally you have a choice of signing or vetoing or doing an amendatory veto. I don't see an amendatory veto here. You're either going to have to sign it or veto it. And that's the danger. But the danger is, folks, and is that if this is going to affect our lives, if you're a Christian, who, you have Judeo-Christian, if you're an Orthodox Jewish person, if you care about standing up for the Word of God, this is going to try to get people to bend their knees and say, you have to take this man, who doesn't have to look like a woman, by the way. The law, the bill doesn't say
not
that.
Not even an ugly woman.
That's what I was thinking. I wasn't going to say
but
it, though.
And that man can say, you have to call me a she, even though you know that's not the case, or you could be fined, or you could be sued, or and a man could say, I have a right to go into that women's shower room in or changing room. Well, where are the rights to the women say, I only want to be in a shower room or changing room with those of the same biological sex? And they say, no, you've lost that right. The state of Illinois has changed it. Men can now go into there. Do we not stand for this? Do we not stand up and say, no, we're going to protect our young
Well, we need
sons
to recognize what it is before we stand up against it. And I just, since you were talking, Ralph, it just popped in my head. Romans chapter 1, verse 24, 25 says, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. So they've exchanged the truth of God for a lie. That's the bottom line here. And you're right, Ralph, this is going to affect all of us. The ripple effects are not going to be confined to Boys Town in Chicago. This is going to hit our health clubs, right?
Oh, yes.
It's going to hit our changing rooms at our favorite department store, yes?
That's correct.
I think it's where it's really going to hit is high school sports programs.
Yes.
Think about that.
Yeah. Yeah, your kids in high school, in their locker rooms, and their sport programs. How about church, Ralph? Is this going to affect our churches and our bathrooms?
Oh, absolutely. Because if you have a men's room and a woman's room at the church, if a man comes in there and has a legal document that says I'm a woman. Right. Now, you know, the opposition had to say, oh, what do you think he's going to show his birth certificate when he goes? Are you going to ask for his birth certificate? No, what's going to happen is you have an employer or at the church, they will establish this long before this and then say, I have a right to go in there. If you stop me, I can sue you. You can be fined. You know, it's interesting. In New York City, they now have, I don't know, it's like 30, 40 different genders.
That's right.
And if a business doesn't call that person by the gender, they're fined. So it's all about bending your knee, doing the absurd, and if you don't do the absurd, you get fined, or you can be jailed.
Facebook has how many, John? How many different genders?
Yeah, I've lost count. It's 40 or 50, I think.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I think a lot of pastors and maybe churches think that they're a religious institution, they're protected from this. That's not the case.
I don't think so. Let me back up. What I'm saying, I don't think so. Yes, I do think so, in the sense that if a church establishes very clear doctrinal statements and policies and procedures, I think we win in court. But they're going to be sued. They're going to have to go to court. And they have a better chance of winning if they have these very clearly defined religious doctrines and policies that are based on the Word of God. But if churches don't do this, then they're going to be forced to do this, or they could lose their tax status, or they could be fined, or the pastor could be, say, if you interfere with that, we could find you in contempt of court, which is jailable.
We've got 12-something million people in Illinois. How many people would this actually apply to? How many? What tiny minority of folks are we catering to here?
You know, it's growing, though, and that's what's alarming. You see the culture around us just collapsing at such an alarming rate. You know, it seems to me as since the Supreme Court ruling on gay marriage, redefining marriage, it is almost as if the whole LGBT group has said, okay, it's your turn, transgenders, that's gender right. dysphoric people. I mean, remember the 70s hit sitcom MASH? I mean, Klinger was desperately trying to be declared mentally ill by dressing up as a woman to get kicked out so he can go home, right?
Edited out those scenes and reruns, I don't know.
You know, it's politically incorrect now.
It sure
you know
is.
What? I have to tell you, you know, sometimes I can't sleep. I watch, I record Barney Miller episodes. And some of the funniest episodes of Barney Miller, yes, they even have a liberal slant to them back in the 70s, right? But the remember Barney Miller, a bunch of detectives?
Sure. Yeah.
Well, here you got your big, bulky, strong men dressing up in drag to go catch people who were muggers. And it was, they were making fun of it. It was, I'm thinking to myself, politically incorrect, man. This is going to be flagged in the future.
Yes.
This can't go.
John, you know, when I've talked about sports programs, I don't think this will just impact the locker rooms and the restroom situation. What I think will happen is you'll have a boy wanting to join the girls' soccer team or the girls' volleyball team, et cetera.
Yeah, and we're seeing headlines around the country in this past semester where talented female athletes who should be winning are losing because some boy is running against them.
Right. And, it's not that – I mean, you can have a mixed volleyball team. That's not a problem here. But what you do see and what I've been reading is that in Olympic or world-class trials for some sport, this man who says, I'm a woman competes against the woman. And he's stronger or he's faster.
I'm sorry. In the deadlift, a guy pretending to be a woman is going to get the record. Just saying.
That's right.
Anyway, listen, before we go to break, we need to give the phone number to the governor's office because we've got a call. We've got to encourage him to veto House Bill 1785. The phone number is 217-782-0244. I'm going to give it again. 217-782-0244. Ask him to veto House Bill 1785.
If you didn't get those phone numbers, remember you can go to our website, illinoisfamily.org. Click on Officials Finders, and that will take you to the governor's phone numbers. This is Illinois Family Spotlight. We'll continue our conversation with Ralph Rivera and John Biber after this.
Hi, this is Kurt Jarrus, the host of Veracity Hill. Veracity Hill is a radio podcast dedicated to striving for truth on faith, politics, and society. I don't have all the answers, but join me as I explore important topics with guests from respective fields. To learn more, text the word VERACITY to 555-888. That's VERACITY to the number 555-888, or check out our website at veracityhill.com.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Lark, joined by David Smith. With the Illinois Family Institute, and John Biber and Ralph Rivera are here with the Illinois Family Institute representing our interests. John's the Special Projects Coordinator for IFI, Ralph a lobbyist down in Springfield, and Dave, there's an important bill that's not getting a lot of traction in Springfield, but it should.
It should. You know, we just got finished talking about House Bill 1785, and I hope people make their calls. But a good solution for This dilemma, at least in our public schools, was introduced by Representative Tom Morrison from Palatine. House Bill 664, it was titled the Student Physical Privacy Act, and it would amend the school code to require a school board to designate each pupil restroom, changing room, locker room, etc., for the exclusive use of pupils of only one sex. And it also allowed the school districts to create and designate a bathroom for those who are suffering from gender dysphoria. In other words, they don't know, they're confused about their gender. So that sounds like a reasonable thing. And as we were talking about in the break, that it's reasonable to us. It seems like, hey, that's perfectly good. But it's not reasonable to the left. They would never abide by this. They need us. They want us to bow the knee, if you will, to their demands and wishes and go along with their worldview.
Right. It's not a matter of being tolerant. It's a matter of embracing and celebrating. If you don't, then you would be against the law.
And to hell, if you don't mind me using that language, but to hell with the girls' privacy and safety and modesty concerns, right? Those can go out the window. It's this poor child who's suffering from gender dysphoria. That's the person we need to cater to, not the others.
I went to high school in the 1970s, and there were several comedians in my class. And I would imagine if this would have been debated back then, they would have been signing up.
Well, lots of young men would say, hey, you know, let me into the girls' room.
I feel pretty.
No, absolutely. And that's part of the problem with this, the safety for our daughters. I mean, this is ridiculous. But, you know, House Bill 664 has been proposed a couple years in a row because Palatine, where Tom is from, was kind of the hotbed for this situation right out of the bat here in his school district. It seems awful reasonable, doesn't it? I mean, really,
common
seriously.
Sense, compassionate, but to the ACLU, well, it doesn't normalize.
They are science deniers.
Yeah.
Well, that's the funny thing about it, isn't it? So that kind of leads into the next conversation I want to talk about, which was Senate Bill 64, which was introduced by Kyle McCarter. We talked about how House Bill 1785 is going to affect churches and religious institutions, organizations.
Sports programs.
But this, I'm focusing on religious liberty because this is what this bill from Kyle McCarter focuses on. It's called the Religious Freedom Defense Act, which prohibits discrimination by government against persons who believe marriage is one man and one woman and sexual relations are properly reserved for marriage. So, I mean, he might need to expand this to talk about gender recognition as well.
Right.
These two good bills that we're talking about didn't go anywhere because they were assigned to committees that didn't even schedule a hearing for them.
That's correct.
And so they died not even having a hearing. But this is so important on a number of levels for churches and for religious people and people of faith who want to actually practice, freely practice their faith in the public square, right? You know, we're talking about bakers and florists and photographers and those people who want to be able to turn down a gay person who is planning a gay marriage and say, sorry, I'll be happy to bake you a dozen donuts, but I'm not going to make a cake for your wedding. Isn't that a big deal, don't you think?
Right. I mean, there is the difference of participating in something against your religious belief and just saying, I sell cookies and cakes and anybody who wants them, that's fine for them to do that. And I don't think anyone objects to that in the least or should. But participating is another matter, and they want to force participation into behavior that is not moral.
I can see a scenario down the road in the not too distant future, actually, where a church, for instance, they've got that tax-exempt status, but you would not comply with these laws regarding bathrooms and access to bathrooms, et cetera, you could lose that tax-exempt status.
Well, that's true. It's a state law that allows religious institutions and churches, 501c3 type of groups, to be exempt from property tax.
That's right.
Or sales tax, these type. But property tax is the big one.
But the Senate Bill 64 would help somebody like Jim Walder. Jim Walder is the bed and breakfast owner from Paxton, Illinois, who turned down a civil union ceremony because of his Christian faith and said, sorry, you can't do it here because that violates my conscience. He was dragged into the human rights tribunal, and a fine was issued against him late last year for $80,000 for violating the human rights of two gay men. And, of course, he's going to fight that. He's in court now. But the fact is, this religious liberty bill by Kyle McCarter would defend his right. It's actually a First Amendment right. Right? Because the First Amendment guarantees the right to freely exercise your faith, not within the four walls of your church, but in the public square. And so, yes, he is a public accommodation, but he doesn't have to accommodate everybody. I mean, it's almost as ridiculous as saying that you should ask a Jewish printer to print up Nazi propaganda. Isn't that right?
That's exactly right. And religious liberty is also mentioned early in the Illinois Constitution.
Well, it seems to me, we should look that up, that I've read it. It is pretty doggone strong, isn't it?
A lot of the state ones are stronger than the federal.
But what we...
For the bed and breakfast person, what I find additionally terrible is that in addition to the $80,000, which is huge... They say he must accommodate a person with, this was a civil union.
Right.
He must accommodate somebody like that. You know, there's one thing to find somebody and say, you broke some law. It's another thing to say you must do something against your belief.
Well, see, and this goes back to one's worldview. As Christians, we believe God instituted government to punish wickedness and reward good. And what is happening here? The government is being used to punish good and reward wickedness. And so we've turned everything upside down in this state. And I'm very concerned about it. That's why we do what we do at Illinois Family Institute. That's why we continually call for Christians to be involved in the public square. And then we also put out calls for people to run for office. You know, Christians who aren't involved or who don't think about running, we're turning the reins of government over to atheists and humanists, and then we wonder why we get decisions like this. $80,000 to a bed and breakfast owner, that effectively puts them out of business. But as Ralph, you point out, it goes further than that. It mandates that he has to do a service for these people, like it or not. I mean, that's tyrannical. That is the definition of tyranny, right, John?
There are some positive bills making progress in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
That could be addressing some of this. I don't have any of the information in front of me, but within this next year or so, hopefully we'll see some pass.
Well, the Supreme Court, it had a decent ruling recently.
Yes.
Favoring a Lutheran church who wanted to be part of a program, a tire playground padding type of program, and said, you can't discriminate against these folks, that's a good ruling. But it doesn't really tell us much about what's coming up regarding the bakers and florists and candlestick makers, right?
Ralph, I'm just wondering, this bill, Senate Bill 64, Kyle McCarter's bill, stuck in committee. How can we get it unstuck? Is there any possibility of that happening?
There has to be a sea change in leadership, understand, even if you get something out of committee, you still have to have the necessary number of votes. Let me share with you that both on pro-life and pro-family, in the General Assembly of the state of Illinois, 4 votes will actually make the difference.
Say that again.
In what we're dealing with on legislation for pro-life or pro-family.
So flipping 4 seats.
4 seats in the House, four seats in the Senate, but certainly one of those two to stop bills. The House is our best place.
Sure.
If if you flipped
slightly
four,
more conservative than the Senate.
That's correct. And so if you flipped four, you wouldn't see House Bill 1785 moving. You wouldn't
or
even
House
have
Bill
seen
40.
House Bill 40 there.
Taxpayer funding of abortion.
Right. Right. So this is what deals with when you hear us kind of moaning and groaning about this.
Yes.
We're not just saying we're throwing our hands up. There's a real way to do this. It's all within the democratic process. And it really shows that if we can get involved in getting pro-life, pro-family legislators elected and getting rid of those who do not vote with us.
That's right.
We're in a different ballgame. We may not move our bills at that level.
Right.
But they can't move there.
And we got to get rid of some of these weak-kneed Republicans as well. So thank you, Ralph. So before we wrap up this podcast, I want to call for action, okay, again. We need to call the governor's office on two bills, House Bill 40, which is taxpayer funding of abortion, and this House Bill 1785, which we're featuring right now in this podcast. The phone number to the governor's office is 217-782-0244. Again, that number is 217-782-0244. We'd also like to hear from you. If you enjoy these podcasts, send us an email with your comments or even questions at feedback@ifiaction.org. That's feedback@ifiaction.org.
We talked about getting the right people elected.
Yes.
Maybe if you're listening, you're the right person to be elected. Maybe you yes. should think about running for office.
Absolutely. Get involved. Precinct committeemen, county board member, township trustee, work your way up to state representative, state senator. We need more Christians involved because we have a dearth of wise and honest men and women in Springfield.
All right. Thanks very much, John Biber and Ralph Rivera. Until next time, all the best and God bless.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.